Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We talked to Brian Costello about the Jets, and his report is brought to you by Winters Brothers, Long Island's number one choice for waste removal and recycling services. By CSEA Local 830, we work for you. By Security Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, and Ram, Suffolk County's number one volume dealer. And by Digital Ally, a proud partner of MetLife Stadium. Capture truth. Well, the truth is that the Jets laid an egg in Cincinnati last week. And, Brian, we talked about it before the game, the trap, the whole thing. Don't take them lightly. And, you know, sure enough, same old Jets, people are saying, and I can't dispute it.
Yeah, you can see it coming a little bit, Richard. I still thought they were going to win because I thought they were playing better, but I thought, you know, I thought there was a chance there, especially with Andy Dalton coming back to give the Bengals a little bit of a lift, and he did, and the Jets could just do nothing right, and it was a really bad loss.
Well, and the embarrassing thing was, we talked about, hey, Beecham is steady, solid guy playing better, and Harrison at center is an upgrade, and, you know, those were two of the guys responsible for sacks and quarterback pressures and mistakes, and you name it.
The bigger thing to me was the penalties, Richard. I mean, the offensive line had seven penalties in the game. Everyone committed a penalty except for Alex Lewis, who's had his own share of penalties this season. But they all were, and I mean, Beecham, the block in the back on the screen pass was just a killer because that got the Jets to the, that would have been, they would have been at the 17-yard line after that screen pass, and instead they're back at the 50, you know, facing, you know, 20 yards to go. And then, in the second half, they come out and they ran the ball, the first three plays of the third quarter when they had the ball. And the third play, Le'Veon actually breaks one and gets 23 yards. And Tom Compton is called for Holton. So that killed that drive. To me, you know, and then Beecham gets holding in the end zone, obviously, which is a safety. So to me, that was the killer from the offensive line last week, was just these really bad penalties at bad times.
Yeah, and you know, you can't blame the refs, but it just seemed to me it was a horribly officiated game. Some of those calls were so ticky-tack, but that's the way the Jets season has gone, I guess.
Well, and it's the way the NFL's gone, Richard. At the beginning of the year, they put an emphasis on holding, right? They every year, the NFL picks a few penalties where they want the refs to it's a point of emphasis. And they come into training camp and they show these guys videos of what they're going to call. And, you know, a few years ago, I remember it was when you land on the quarterback. They're going to call it bluffing the quarterback. And that created a big stir. For me, when I heard holding the quarterback, I was like, oh, my God. Because, you know, the cliche is you can call holding on every single play. And it has some truth to it if you watch these plays. So they're just calling holding, like, just constantly now. And, I didn't have an issue with the calls. In this game, the holding calls, like, you know, Compton basically did a single leg takedown on the long bell run, and I thought, you know, Beecham had his hands outside on the safety. But there have been times this year where some of these calls, I thought, have been ticky-tack, like you said.
Now, I've been reading other columnists as well, and some have suggested...
Richard.
I know, sacrilege. I try to, you know, get both sides of the story here.
Okay.
And I'm reading this whole thing how Adam Gase does not take responsibility. He's making excuses. And I watched the press conference, and it seemed to me that Adam Gase was, hey, I got to do better. Wasn't blaming the refs, wasn't saying, oh, you know, these players, I can't deal. I'm not sure exactly where that's coming from. What's your take on Gase's accepting, you know, the blame, responsibility, whatever you want to call it, for what's going on?
I think he takes responsibility. You know, he says his bad play call, he takes it on himself. I thought he had one bad answer this week that I could understand fans reading and wanting to pull their hair out, where he was asked about you know, the beginning of training camp, he said they'd be playing meaningful games in December, and obviously they're not. So he was asked about that this week, and he referenced back to, like, losing his quarterback for three games and how that hurt the season. And while I think there's validity to that, I also don't think fans want to hear that from the head coach. And it sounds like excuse-making, and he probably shouldn't have gone there. He probably shouldn't even have answered the question, to be honest with you. He probably should have said, you know, we got four games left. I'll talk about the season as a whole when we get through this season. But overall, yeah, I think that's been a bum rap on him. I don't see him making excuses all over the place. You know, he doesn't always go expansive with his answers post game and things like that. But I do think he's taken his fair share of blame here.
Well, the previous coach wasn't expansive in the post game.
No,
either,
he wasn't either. Yeah.
And so many coaches aren't, you know. Can you, after a win, sure, but after a loss, what do you say? The players stink, or my game plan was lousy, whatever. well, speaking of game plans being lousy, though, you know, we heard during the game, okay, you can run outside on these guys, but inside they're pretty stout. And the Jets did not try to run outside, it seemed, that much. Any validity to that critique?
A little bit, but, you know, I don't think the Jets are not a team that's like running tosses to the outside and running student body right and things like that. Those things are kind of gone. It's a lot of zone. They do a lot of zone reads on runs, Richard, which means it's the running back's decision where to run the ball. You know, they do outside zone, but they can cut it in. And there was a play in the fourth quarter where Le'Veon got the ball, and I thought he should have bounced it outside, and he took it inside. I think some of that is on the running back. You know, it's fair to create. They could have done more outside. I didn't understand the overall criticism of run the ball more. I get that the Bengals ranked where they did, and I thought the Jets would have more success running, but I didn't see the opportunities that people talked about. There was one drive in the first half where Ty Montgomery carried the ball for 7 yards, and then they threw the ball on second and third down. I thought that was bad. But other than that, they had the first drive was pretty good, ended in a field goal. Three drops on the drive killed them. They had a drive that we talked about that ended with the screen pass, the bad penalty, that kind of killed them. Then they get the ball with 1:40 left in the half. They're not running there. They come out, try to run the ball in the third quarter, and the holding penalty kills that drive. Then they get the ball by the goal line, holding penalty, safety. Bengals then kick a field goal. Now it's 22-6 with 1 minute left in the third quarter. Guess what? You're not running the ball a lot after that, down by 16 points. So, to me, I didn't think the numbers, like, oh, they said the ratio was so messed up. The ratio was high, but I think it was because of the end-of-half situation. But, yeah, if you want to rip them for not running outside, I think, you know, you can question that.
Well, what about the idea that Le'Veon Bell was somebody that Gaze didn't want in the first place, and as a result, he's not using them? I'm also not buying that, because this guy is a weapon. And, you know, we saw the couple of games ago, the first play they threw to him. I think they're trying to get him involved in catching the ball as well.
Yeah, I think they tried to get him involved more catching. He had four touches in Cincinnati, too. None as impactful as that one against the Raiders. I think he's done a better job of splitting him out and things like that. It just hasn't really worked, Richard. And I don't know if it's because of Le'Veon Bell losing a step. I don't know if it's because of his offensive line being as bad as it's been. I don't know if it's Adam Gase's play calling. I think it's probably a combo platter of all of those things. But it's not working right now, and I don't like the idea of, like, well, they should just give him the ball 25 times. Yeah, are you watching the game? it's not working. So to me, and I have a hunch this is what you're going to see tomorrow, I would try getting Powell a little bit more involved. I would try getting Montgomery a little bit more involved, because when they're in the game, and it's very infrequent when they're in the game, the ball kind of moves a little bit better.
They're more effective, believe me. Yeah, they are.
So, you know, I'm not saying put Le'Veon on the shelf by any means, but I think, you know, let's see them on the field together. Let's just see a little bit more from those two. And Le'Veon's been sick. He's missed practice Thursday, Friday. I think he will play, but I could see him being a little bit limited. He's probably going to be, if he's been very sick, you know, he's not probably going to feel 100% tomorrow. He's probably going to be a little winded and have a tough time. So I think you'll see a little bit more of Powell and Montgomery tomorrow.
Real quick, we only have about a minute or so left. Greg Williams' defense, obviously, they couldn't stop Dalton. So many third downs where they converted. What about tomorrow now with a beat-up defensive backfield?
Yeah, it could be rough. I mean, and Fitz is a guy who when he's hot, he's hot. I was okay with no, and he last week he threw for 365 and three touchdowns against the Eagles. So this could be a bad matchup for them. I'm not sure. They got to get pressure on him, and I'm not sure how they do that. They just haven't been able to generate pressure, especially with Jamal Adams not being on the field. So it could be, to me, this could be a high-scoring game where the Jets' offense is going to have to put up some points.
Okay, Brian, we'll talk to you next week and see how it shakes out.
All right, Richard, thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.